Now, I was talking about this a little bit earlier on this morning because I saw an article about the Greens announcing their proposal for a sugar tax on fizzy drinks in a bid to overcome Australia's obesity epidemic. So the Greens today are going to call for a 20% tax on sugary drinks, which is said to collect around $500 million a year. Now, the research that they're citing from an academic paper has suggested that the policy could lead to a fall in consumption of sugary drinks by up to 12%. They'll announce this at an event today at the University of Sydney, the Greens leader, Richard Di Natale. And I'm joined now by Professor Tim Gill. He's a professor of public health at the Boden Institute of Obesity. He'll be there also. It's about to kick off. But he's going to talk to us now about the implications of such a tax. Good morning, Professor Gill.
Good morning, Jamie.
So just quickly, what's this event you're at today?
This is an event for an organisation called Obesity Australia, which is a more or less an advocacy organisation composed of people who have obesity, as well as academics and policymakers around obesity issues.
Right, okay. And so the Greens leader, Richard Di Natale, is going to be there today with this plan for a 20% tax on sugary drinks. Look, we've seen this in the UK. Jamie Oliver's been all over it, like a fat kid and a smarty, if you'll excuse the term. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, look, I think it has a lot of merit. We know for sure, that with a great deal of certainty, that consuming excess amounts of sugary beverages is associated with increasing rates of overweight and obesity. We've also got pretty clear evidence that if we can get people to reduce their consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, that generally it results in a small amount of weight loss over time. Now, obviously, a number of people are going to say that, why pick on sugar-sweetened beverages? Because it is, in fact, overconsumption of total calories that leads to people gaining weight, which is absolutely true. It's just that sugar-sweetened beverages are basically wasted calories. They provide absolutely no nutrition. They are readily available. They're heavily marketed. They're dirt cheap. They're the drink choice of young teenagers and early adults, where weight gain is fastest in Australia. And there's a perfectly good and appropriate substitute which actually costs nothing, and that's tap water.
I totally agree. I suppose one of the things I'm interested in finding out, Professor Gill, is, look, this is centred solely, this policy is centred solely on, as you're saying, sugary drinks. How much of an issue is it, the sugary drinks? I mean, there's other areas, you know, your fast food, your processed food, and, we're not talking about putting a tax on those. How much of a percentage of, obesity issues do come down to sugary drinks?
Oh, well, that's impossible to tell. It's like everything saying, how much of road traffic accidents are caused by alcohol or how much is caused by something else. It's really difficult to separate out because issues, community issues such as road safety and obesity are caused by a multitude of factors that often interact. And in an individual, then those factors vary quite greatly. So there are some people who don't drink any soft drink and will still have a weight problem. There's people who drink an enormous amount and don't have a weight problem. But on the balance, at a community level, we do see a reasonably strong association between high levels of consumption of soft drink and weight problems. And more importantly, the biggest consumers of sugar-sweetened beverages are those who we want to target most strongly, and that's those adolescents and young adults, because that's where we see weight problems begin to develop, and that's what we really want to do here is stop weight problems developing. We're not is not very helpful to try and deal with weight problems once they have developed.
Mm. If you just join us, I'm here with Professor Tim Gill. He's a professor of public health at the Boden Institute, talking to me about this Greens proposal to put a 20% tax on sugary drinks. Now, we have seen in other countries they've implemented, you know, similar tax, the UK, yeah. Mexico, as I understand. What have we got any data out of those countries yet? I know it's early days to show that there's been, you know, a drop in consumption of sugary drinks.
Yes, I mean, the country that probably has the best evaluated introduction of the tax system is Mexico.
Right.
In most other countries where they've introduced a tax on a food product, such as sugar sweetened beverages, it's not been for a health reason. It's not been dedicated that way. It's been for revenue raising.
Mm.
And so it's difficult, and there was never any evaluation before and after. But in Mexico, this was a specific attempt to reduce soft drink consumption. They introduced a flat 10% tax, and at the end of 12 months, there was a 12% reduction in sugars and beverages, although probably over the year it was closer to 6%. Obviously, there are periods of the year where soft drink consumption is larger, and so the effect's going to be larger. But over the year, there was around a 6% reduction in consumption.
Mm. Just getting into human psychology, as it were, for a moment, if we were to increase, let's say that this is policy, this is implemented, a 20% tax on sugary drinks. So the price goes up, I don't know, let's say 20 cents or whatever it might be on a supermarket can of Pepsi or Coke or whatever it is. We've already done that with cigarettes. Prices have gone up. They've been indexed. The tobacco excise goes up every however often. Yet people still continue smoking. And if it's just 20 cents, are people really going to drink less?
Well, the whole idea of increasing the tax is not to force people to consume less, but to send a signal that forces them to consider whether they should be consuming this. And as I said before, the biggest group is that young adult teenage group, and they're probably the most price sensitive consumer. And so what it's really saying is you go in, you say, it's only a dollar, I'll have it. You go in and it's $1.60 and, well, maybe not. It just forces you to think. So it's not intended to prevent people from consuming it.
Mm.
It's intended to send a little signal saying, oh, do I really need this? Should I be buying it? Is there something better?
Mm, fair enough. Now, as part of this research, the Greens say they could raise something like $500 million a year. I mean, would you want to see that going into general revenue, or would you like to see that tackling these issues specifically?
Well, I think the public would be quite rightly miffed if they felt that this was just going straight into general revenue, because it has been added as an additional burden, let's be frank, on top of GST. So I would that any revenue raised this way would go into programs that would assist and help people who either have a weight problem or as a prevention, additional prevention option for people. So in the UK, they've made a pledge that the money will go towards increasing physical activity options both at school and through sports. For children, and you would hope that the Greens would dedicate any revenue raised to, you know, a similar sort of issue or other issues around food and physical activity, with a particular focus on children, because it is important that we prevent this weight gain early in life.
Mm. Well, Tim, it's been great speaking with you. Good luck today at the event. Say good day to Richard Di Natale for us, and thanks for coming on the show.
No worries, Jamie.
Not a worry. That's Professor Tim Gill there, Professor of Public Health at the Boden Institute, talking to me about this proposal to put a 20% tax on sugary drinks.